If you have your Bibles, if you turn with me to Philemon, it's a book towards the end of the New Testament. I'm going to read from the NIV, I hope you don't mind that, and if you follow me as we read this passage together. So it's Philemon. I don't have to say the chapter because it's just a single letter. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. To Ophelia, our sister. To Archippus, our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you'll have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me, while I am in chains for the gospel. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have come some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. This letter, which we're going to look at tonight, what I'd encourage you to do is sometime, you know, after you get home, read through Colossians. Just sit down and read it and consider what is being said. And then when you do that, you'll be able to see the relevance between these two letters. Because it is important that we see these things in the situation that they were given to the church. And we have a better understanding then of the reasons that Paul writes these things. The reasons why he writes two letters. And how he deals with it. Tychicus and Onesimus, they carry the two letters from Paul, who is in prison in Rome. One is a general letter to the church at Colossae, also to be read at the church at Laodicea and other churches as well. The other is a personal letter to a man named Philemon. And we learn that the church met in the house of Philemon. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 7 to 9, we read this. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. So the letter doesn't just come as a letter. There are people who carry the letter, and they are there to be able to fill in the gaps. And it's good that we do that, isn't it? You know, if you get a missionary letter and you get a sort of a feeling for what's happening, it's always better when you have the missionary here to speak to you in person about the work he's doing and for you to have an opportunity to ask him questions. And so Paul has covered this. He sent a letter with two people who are able to fill in the gaps, who are able to bring the church up to date with what is happening. And so that is important, and it's a lesson for us today. But it reads on as well, and it says this: with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you, and they will tell you everything that is happening here. It would have been an education to be in that church meeting when this letter was first read out, and when Tychicus and Onesimus came in, because Onesimus would have been known to that congregation. And what probably would have happened is, when they saw who it was, there would have been a little bit of nudging. Is that Onesimus? Ah, I don't think so. It is. What's he doing here? And then Paul expresses in Colossians, he says, he's one of us. Now, it doesn't just mean he's from Colossae, which he was. It means he is part of us as a fellowship. That's what he's saying to this church. And this is important. And we've got to look at this and the reality of it when this person, Onesimus, comes in and he's called our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. And then they will tell you, that is both of them, everything that's been happening. In Colossians 4, verse 17, we have another little reference here to a person called Archippus. And it says, tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you have received in the Lord. Remember that. Just remember that little sort of, it's in a general letter to the church. But here, this man is singled out and he is encouraged by Paul to continue the work that God has given him. What work it is, we're not sure. But here is an encouragement for this man. But it's also a public announcement that this man, Archippus, in your congregation, has a gift. I'm telling him to work at that gift. And in this letter, reading between the lines, Paul is saying to the church in general, and I'm telling you to encourage him, because this is a gift he has. So we've got Onesimus, the runaway slave, who we know, we learn, stole from his master Philemon. And we'll meet Tychicus, Onesimus, Archippus in the personal letter that is written to Philemon. There's one of the links. And it's important that we put these things together for us to understand what's happening here. The letter to Philemon that we're going to look at, it reflects what Paul has been saying in his general letter to the church. In Philemon, we have a practical example of how the gospel impacts on the life of a new believer. That's good to know, isn't it? Sometimes we can ignore the new believer, or we could not include them or encourage them. But we see this new believer, Onesimus. And we also see one who is established in the gospel, who is probably a leader in the church. And we see how both react to the authority of the gospel and to the grace of God. And that's what we're going to see here in this letter. And how through these things, God's glory can be reflected within the church. And if we reflect it within the church, then we can reflect it outside the church. In addition to this, we see how Paul deals with what is a very difficult situation. In Philemon verse 1 and verse 2, we read this. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Aphaea, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. I firmly believe that when we have an actual name given, even if we know nothing else, it's important that we know that name. And I think we should look at the people who Paul talks about, not just the people who Paul talks about, but the people who we have here in God's word. We don't necessarily know who they are. But the very fact that these names are mentioned, it shows a feeling of affection. It's good to use people's names. I am terrible for names. I forget people's names. And I'll be talking to somebody and thinking, I know your name, but I can't quite grasp it. And one thing that somebody said to me once, if you talk to somebody and you don't know their name, just say to them, what's your name again? And when they say, Eddie Frost, say, no, not the Frost bit. Not the Eddie bit, the Frost bit. And you've got the name then, you've got the surname, haven't you? The Christian name. Because they will say to you, oh, what's your name? You know, you might, what's your name? Oh, I'm Mr. Blaxall. I'm Roger Blaxall. And I'll say, no, I don't mean Roger, I know that. I mean the Blaxall bit. You know what I mean? It's a little way to, if you've forgotten somebody's name. But what I'm trying to say here, when we speak to people, it's nice to use their name when we speak to them. And Paul is doing this in his letter. Now, we don't know who these people are. We suspect that Aphaea, who is a woman, it might be that she's Philemon's wife, or we don't know. Referred to as our sister. Archippus, he's already been spoken of. He's our fellow soldier. And to the church that meets in your home. So it could be that, again, confirmation that he is a church leader. That's where we've got the reference in Colossae. 4 verse 17. Then we've got Onesimus, the runaway slave, stole from his master. He's now returned to his hometown. And he's now going to be in the house of the person he stole from. He obviously, when he stole wherever he stole, he went for the big city. And he went to Rome. But this runaway slave has now returned. And we don't know how, but we know that in that interim time between leaving Philemon and arriving into Rome, something happened. He heard the message of salvation. He heard the message of forgiveness. He heard the message of acceptance by God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the important bit. It could have been from the lips of Paul, because Paul calls him his son, and Paul does that. When he's been involved in somebody's conversion, he makes it very personal. And he will often refer to them as my son, not his natural son, but a son in Christ. That's the importance of this relationship that Paul has had with this man, Onesimus. It might be that he met up with Epaphras. Epaphras is someone you'll meet in Colossians. And what he is, he's probably the founder member of the church of Colossae. And maybe he heard Paul preach at Ephesus and brought the gospel back to Colossae. And maybe, I don't know, it could be that he met up with Onesimus and recognized him. And what are you doing? And I'm on hard times now. Come and see my friend Paul. And, you know, just we don't know this. All we know is that he was a new person in Christ because he'd heard the gospel and he responded to it. And he was a changed person. He's now a new person in Christ, a fellow helper and a comfort to Paul, who quite naturally would like to have him stay. And it's obvious that Onesimus would have prepared to stay with Paul. So there's Paul's dilemma. He sent this man, Onesimus, back to the man he stole from. Why? Because by law, Onesimus, and we've got to put this in the society of its day, Onesimus belonged to Philemon. This isn't condoning slavery. This is dealing with the real situation that really happened within a society as it was when Paul wrote this letter. He's committed a crime against Philemon. And Philemon now has to be recompensed. Be a great benefit to Paul, and he tells us that, for the situation to remain as it is. But both Paul and Onesimus know that the right thing must be done. And I want you to take this little bit from that. Put yourself in position of either of these two men. Think about what they're going to do. Paul is going to send him back, not really knowing what will happen, because it's the law. What they're doing here, both of them are putting their trust and faith in the providence of God. Get that? This is a big step for both of them. We read it quickly. They would have talked about this. They would have discussed it. They would have come to the conclusion what the right thing to do is. And they've now taken the step to put it into action. And in doing that, they are putting their faith and they are putting their trust in the providence of God. They are placing it in his hands. Philemon 1 and 2. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also a filia and sister, and Archippus, fellow soldier. This is where it starts. And what we're going to do here, we're going to go into this letter, and we're going to see exactly what happens. Introduction. That's basically what the first few verses are. And then we come to verse 4 and 7. And going through to verse 4 and 7. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. Paul is preparing the ground here for what he's going to say later. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the saints. Paul here commends Philemon by telling him what he knows to be true. Because of that, he has a good idea of what Philemon will do. He doesn't necessarily know what he will do, but he trusts that he will do the right thing. And what he's doing here, he's reminding Philemon of the good that he has and the good that he is doing. I thought about this, and I saw this where it's a reminder to us as a fellowship. Do we commend people we know for the things that they do? You have a pastor. It's not an easy job. Do you commend him personally? Do you thank him for the things that he does? Not just a general thanks. It could be a specific thing. Pastor, I thought you dealt with that really well, and I want to just say thank you. We appreciate you. Yeah. This isn't buttering people up. This is being honest and being real. That's what Paul is doing. Yes, he's preparing Philemon, but he's encouraging Philemon here. And when you come down to verse 8, Paul makes it clear that he's speaking as Paul, a friend, and not as Paul the apostle. He has the authority to do that, but he doesn't. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love I then, as Paul, an old man, and now as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Within that, in verse 9, you might sort of think, well, this is Paul playing the sympathy card. You know, I'm an old man, I'm in prison. But you know, he isn't. What he's doing, he's telling the truth. He's laying the truth and laying the facts on the table. And he's telling the truth. Listen, I'm Paul, I'm the apostle. I have the authority to command you and order to you to do what is right. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to come to you who I am. Paul, the man. Paul, the prisoner. Paul, the one who is getting old. But I'm going to come to you as Paul, the man. And he appeals in verse 10 to 13 on behalf of Onesimus. Formerly, he was useless. That was, and now he is useful both to you and to us and to the church. I think that's great. Those verses there are really tremendous. And we're told that Onesimus means useful, which is good, isn't it? That's the meaning of his name. We come to verse 14 and 15. But I didn't want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Isn't that good? It's not through duty. I'm not going to command you to do your duty. It's not talking about duty. He's going to leave this with him. Perhaps the reason he has separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as man and as a brother in the Lord. You see, this is the appeal on behalf of Onesimus. You know, we're forgiven. But even then, we must pay the debts we owe society. And I mentioned earlier that it was the law that Onesimus belonged to Philemon. So he had to go back to Philemon. Philemon, probably by the law, had the right maybe to even have Onesimus executed. I don't know. But he would certainly have the authority to bring the weight of the law against him. That reminds me of Zacchaeus in Luke 19. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount, cheerfully giving more than was necessary." When we talk about this and we tell the story to the children, we always emphasize this is the generosity of Zacchaeus, that he gave back four times what he'd taken. But it's deeper than that. Because what Zacchaeus was doing here, he was being faithful to the law. The law in Leviticus and in Numbers gives an amount that has to be paid to someone that you have stolen from. I think that amount is the fifth of what you've taken. But Zacchaeus, he paid back far more than the law demanded. Render to Caesar that which is Caesar's, but give to God that which is God's. They're the words of Jesus. And what Zacchaeus was doing, he was giving back that which he owed according to the law, and then he gave back more according to love. The love of God. The love that God had given him. And this is what Paul is saying to Philemon. But debt's got to be paid. The law has got to be met. Philemon, you have the law in your hands. It's up to you. Philemon. Paul is saying to him, I know you. I know you well. I know the things you do. I know the things you're doing. And I trust that you will do what is right. But this is the important thing. Paul is not saying, I know you will do what is right. He's saying, I know you will do what is right in the eyes of God. Together. That's what this whole letter is about. That's what the book of the letter to the Colossians is about. So we have a practical example here of what is being promoted in the Colossian letter. It's a wonderful thing to look at it in that way. Verse 16 to 21, no longer a slave. And Paul offers to share any cost incurred. Confidence of your obedience. Not your obedience to me, Paul the Apostle. Not even your obedience to the law of the land. I know you will keep those things. I know you have those things. But I know, because of what I know about you, that whatever you do will be in obedience to God and God's will. This is what Paul is saying all the way through. That's what he's saying to the church of Colossae. They have problems in Colossae. And these problems, read the letter and see the parallels between what's happening. Paul would like to visit in his final salutation, verses 22 through to 25. But I want to sort of just round things up and show the relevance to us today of what we have here. When I say to us, I mean to us as individuals and to us as a fellowship together. And this is what we know. We've looked at the letter. We've tried to see it in the real situation. And we can see, you know, that the reality of the letter being read out in the church, the letter being presented to Philemon. But this is what we really know. Because we don't really know the outcome. It doesn't actually give like a happy ending at the end. This is the letter to Philemon. What happens after wouldn't be in this letter anyway. But it's here in God's word. And it's here for a purpose. And the purpose is that we can learn from it. So what do we know? We know that Paul was selfless. And he was loving. And he was fair. Is that part of our character? As an individual and as a fellowship. We know that Onesimus was repentant. But it goes further. He was faithful. And he was trusting. And he literally put his life in the hands of God and God's providence when he went back to Philemon. We know that Philemon made the final decision, but we don't have it written down for us what that was. But what we know is we know that it was right that Paul did what he did. The temptation was to keep Onesimus with him. That's what he really wanted to do. And the temptation for Onesimus was he would stay with Paul because that's what he really wanted to do. But what they both did was right. And we suspect that Philemon did what was right as well. All driven, and this is what I want you to get hold of, all driven and directed by the love of God. That is God's love for them. And then the outcome of that is their expression of their love for God. And the expression of that is their love for each other. And the honesty that we see here between Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Knowing the benefits and the responsibilities of knowing Jesus. Acting in obedience to God's will. And that's it really. Because it was all about, it's either Paul's will, Onesimus' will, Philemon's will. But no. They have to be put aside. And it has to be by God's will. And we see the unity here. The unity between a new Christian and, if you like, an old believer, when they come together, one has been hurt by the other, and they're united in Christ. Do you get that? Settling their differences. That's what it's all about. But being true and faithful to the word of God and God's will. I'll give you another verse from Colossians. This is what it says in 3 verse 11. Here, there's no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That's what I want to leave you with. And what's the benefit of that? What a blessing that must have been for the church at Colossae. Imagine when word got out, heard about Onesimus. Do you mean the guy who stole from Philemon? Yeah, he's back. Oh, he's not, is he? What's he up to? He's back in Philemon's house. And what's happening? Well, he's in the church as well. And what's he doing? He's sharing the gospel. And they are united together. And imagine the effects that that would have on the people outside of the church and around about, because they would know about it. What is it? Bad news travels like wildfire. Good news travels slow. The story of Onesimus would have gone around that town like wildfire. And the story of his testimony would have gone round that town like wildfire.